listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, from the draft floor in Vancouver in about 15 minutes. We'll get into a number of things. Good cop, bad cop, Starsky and Hutch radio.
Exactly. I'm going all positive.
Listen, there's a lot of positives.
You know what we could ask him? That's something that pissed you off this past week. Salary cap information. Why does it take so long to figure out the cap? I know what he's going to say. They've got to get the hockey-related revenue.
Yeah.
But to me, is there a way they could speed that process up for us armchair general managers?
How about the real GMs? Forget the armchair.
Okay.
How about the real 30 GMs who are sitting in Vancouver wondering if
how
the
much
cap
they have
is going
to
be 81.5 or 82.5?
It's really leaning. Like everyone, I think Pierre LeBrun was tweeting about saying it's really going to be 81.5 or 82. So that's... It's probably
lean.
about a million and a half shy, I think, of what people were thinking.
Yeah, that's not...
All season long, we talked about 83 million, did we not? 83
or 84?
Well,
that was the original projection at the All-Star game, I believe, or maybe leading into the playoffs. I can't remember which date it was, but Bettman speaks with the media and does his thing, and they ask him, hey, what's going on with the cap? What's the money like? What are the books looking like for you guys? And he said, I think it was him, might have been Bill Daly.
Yeah.
The projection was like 83 million, and now it might be 81.5. And I know that seems somewhat insignificant in the big picture, but it's not. If you're a team right up against the cap,
you need every dollar.
You need every single penny. And obviously, with Toronto and the Maple Leafs, you're dealing with a scenario where they're still paying some of Phil's contract.
Yep.
They've got the Nathan Horton deal that's complicated, and it's not going to count, but
goes
you got to get there first.
Yeah, he goes in long term,
You've got the Patrick Marleau dance, and I don't know what's going to happen there.
Well,
Zaitsev wants out.
We didn't even get into Kyle's comments saying that he expects Marleau to start on the roster next year.
Right. So what does that mean?
That means to me that they may have had a conversation with him, and he said, I'm not going anywhere. I signed for 3 years. I want to play next year. Now, I kept thinking this last night, why would we not afford Patrick Marleau a bounce back year at 40? I know it's 40, but here's a guy who has been very consistent throughout his career. Had a down year statistically last year. Yeah, now maybe the wheels have just fallen off, but maybe it hasn't. Maybe there is an opportunity for him with Zach Hyman on the shelf to start the season. To have a veteran left winger there, maybe there isn't a marketplace. Maybe there was a trade in place for Arizona. He's like, I'm not going to Arizona.
Couple things I would say on that.
Okay.
I think it's difficult to picture a bounce back with the age.
At 40, correct.
Right,
and I agree with
it's
you.
It's not like injuries have caught up to him. He's healthy. He's played like 800 games in a row.
Father time. I get it.
That he's 40 years old and he doesn't have the same kick.
Right.
I think there's a chance. I think he can be better than he was down the stretch. I don't think it's ever going to be $6.5 million worth of production. You know, I think there's a chance he could still be an effective third-line guy as opposed to a fourth-line guy, which I think is kind of the production he was putting forth come playoff time. But third-line, you obviously can't be spending $6.5 on that. But the third thing I'll say about this, I think the only chance – he has had a bounce back, and it's not even about the regular season. It's about what you can bring us in the playoffs if you're the Maple Leafs. Load management.
Right.
But I don't think he's willing to do it.
Right.
That's the problem. And I think, although he might be told this is what's coming.
Right.
Because I understand why he should have a lot of pride in the amount of games he's played. It's an incredible feat.
Right.
I think he's got his sights on whoever's third all time. I think it's Messier.
Yeah.
He's not going to catch Howe, and Jager, I think, is...
gone.
Is 87 games away or whatever. I don't think he can catch him in terms of the regular season, but I think he can get to Messier if he plays like 77 games. If he's here, I don't think you can do that. I think you got to go to him and say, you're not playing back-to-backs, but you're going to play about 55 games.
But that can't be your priority. Your priority for me, if I'm Patrick Marleau, is to force the organization to be like, we need this guy in the lineup because he's that valuable to us.
Now, but at what time?
Or
in
you're
the,
right,
in the
right.
playoffs.
You're right, in the playoffs. But what
I'm
saying
is... I don't
need
him in November.
What I'm saying is, if because of injury and depth at that position, he may be playing higher up in your lineup. Higher up in your lineup, playing with better players, a lot of times can lead to more production.
Yeah.
Better confidence. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a chance. And maybe I'm just wishful thinking for Patrick.
He's a great player. He probably deserves some benefit of the doubt.
I'm trying to do that because I've got a lot of time for Patrick. But if because of the injury to Zach Hyman and because of the cap situation, your two strongest left wingers will be Johnsson and Patrick Marleau. And Trevor Moore is going to be potentially farther down.
Third or fourth, yeah.
But if Moore shows, then maybe he goes up, like shows a little bit more. We're not 100% guaranteed that Johnsson gets sorted out right for the drop of the puck. I'm sure he will.
Although I think there's arbitration involved in that,
so I think they can get some certainty on that. You're right. I'm wrong on that. You're right. So that'll get sorted out. But I think if he plays higher up and comes motivated, you're right, maybe he only gets 60 games because they load manage him, but he gets some production. Would it be the craziest thing to think if he played a regular shift, higher up in your lineup because of the depth on the left side, that he could get 20 goals?
No, I think he can.
I think he can, too.
I think he can. If he gets a fair amount of time with Matthews and with Tavares.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I it may not be optimal for where you are, but they may be forced into situations where he goes, I'm playing next year, guys. And
yeah.
I'm playing for you.
Yeah, for sure.
There's nothing they can do about it. So they say, okay, you're going to play for us, but you're going to play 60 games. But when you do play, you're not going to be playing 8 minutes on the fourth line. We're going to expect you to be energized. We're going to expect you to... He had 2 years in a row, I believe, at 26 goals leading into coming into the contract with the Leafs. I think he can do it, but maybe it's wishful thinking and wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
even though,
I'll say this: he has to.
Well, you're
because
right.
Because if you're playing, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how great your career has been. You've got to supply something, or you're going to fall into the firing line.
Exactly.
Like people are, everyone respects Patrick Marleau, and he deserves that respect. He's had a remarkable career.
Right.
But if he has 8 goals. In 28 points and can't get from point A to point B anymore.
And he's a weight.
And you can't play him, quite frankly. You might get to a point where you say, we're stuck with the 6'5". I wonder if it's about, Dubas thinking maybe he can trade him at the deadline. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. I really don't.
Right.
But, or Dubas just understanding at this point, nothing has materialized. So.
Right.
I'm going to send a message out to make sure that people back home understand this is a real possibility. Because I do get the sense that a lot of Maple Leaf fans have just concluded Marlowe's going to be off the books and he's gone. And that's not the truth.
It may not be.
It may not be the truth at all.
Well, Kyle may be shopping it around, but the sweetener is not just, hey, give us a seventh rounder, we'll take him off your books. It's like, hey, we need player X.
Yeah.
You want us to take Patrick Marleau? Okay, we need Connor Brown in a second. What?
Yeah, that. You don't then even, okay, you're like, what? Wait like, a minute.
Like it, because teams aren't doing each other any favors.
Like, no, of course not.
So
the Leafs are desperate. Like the vultures are flying around the Maple Leaf table in Vancouver tonight.
But Pierre Dorion may call him up and go, "Yeah, we'll take Patrick Marleau." And Patrick goes, "I'm not going to Ottawa."
Well, that's another thing. That's why it's complicated. He's got a full no trade, full no move.
So that like there could be things that are floating around. And Kyle calls Patrick's agent and, no, don't even go there.
Yeah.
So he has to prepare the fan base that this is the I don't know. I'm careful with my words because the worst case scenario sounds like I'm being disrespectful to Patrick. But at 40 years old, now he had 27 goals his last year in San Jose. Signs with the Maple Leafs. Consistency. Scores 27 his first year with the Leafs. Last year, 16-21. 16 goals and 21 assists. He had 37 points, but he didn't look the same.
That's the problem. I think that is the issue.
That's what bothered people.
Can he still maybe get into a couple of spots and tuck home a couple of goals playing with talented people? I think he probably can, but can he chase down his man when he has to?
Right.
Can he get to the puck and start a forecheck like he used to?
Right, right.
That's where I can't envision a bounce back in that area.
Right.
Can I picture 20 goals if he plays and he plays with the right guys? Yeah, I can picture that. He's still got talent.
Yes.
He's still Patrick Marleau, who know he's smart enough to be like, oh, maybe I'll leak over here and backdoor tap one in.
Yeah.
But can Patrick Marleau be a guy where you're like, man, he was buzzing tonight?
Yeah.
Because when he was obviously in his prime, you noticed Patrick Marleau.
But to your point, maybe at 55 games.
Might be a better option.
Better option.
I think that goes without saying. I can't picture him playing 82 games in Toronto next year.
Here's the thing, though. They don't have the cap flexibility to have somebody on the roster to go in. Okay, there you go. You're picking up minutes off of Marleau when we're load managing. That means you have to add somebody in. Now, it'll be a guy who's a healthy scratch.
Well, Nick Petan or something like that.
So it's Petan goes in or whatever. They got to make sure that they've got a guy who is very cost affordable in that spot.
Oh, the load management replacement is making $650,000.
Exactly. It is Petan or the GOAT.
Yeah. Marlowe's really, that position is making $7.25 million.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a combination of two guys.
Two players, yeah.
You know, I think that's got you have to consider that anyway. Yeah. Everything's got to be on the table because if Marlowe's here, you sign the contract. The Maple Leafs gave him the contract.
Yep.
And
you got to honor it.
You have to honor it, and he's going to show up, and Babcock's going to play him. If Patrick Marleau is in Toronto, he's playing opening night. They just announced it. The Leafs are playing Ottawa at home October 2nd.
Right.
Wednesday night, season opener. If Marleau is still within the organization, he's not up in the press box. He's playing.
Yeah.
You're going to play games.
For sure.
I don't think it's going to make a lot of sense to play 82, considering, you know, it's a lot like the goaltending conversation.
Yeah.
You know, that's another fascinating angle here. We're so focused on these rumors with Brown and Kadri and Kapanen and what's going to happen with Marner. That backup goaltender is a massive piece of the puzzle.
Well, and we just talked about it. With the cap being projected at 83 and it may come in at 81.5, guess what that 1.5 could do? If you have Sparks at 750, you needed another 1.5. You're at 2.5. That gets you
Brian Elliott or something like that.
Quite an upgrade in that position that can take games off of Frederik Andersen, and you're still confident in that position. That could be, and I'm not looking back. You wanted to get ahead of Bruins and have that Game 7 home ice position? Maybe some of those Sparks losses down the stretch would have been the difference.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Boston,
it's not all on him.
Tandem. No, of course not. It's not Garrett Sparks, and he wasn't even with the team come the 7-game series.
Right.
So once they got to the dance, it had nothing to do with
him. There was a time where we thought the Leafs were going to overcome the Bruins for that second spot.
They had the lead on them for the majority of the season.
Right, and Boston went on a heater, and the Leafs took a step back. But the critical points, your backup's just not a filler.
No, it's not anymore.
Yeah.
Not in today's game.
Yeah.
It just, you look at who's won the cup recently, generally, it's not the way the team is built.
Yeah, it's a platoon.
There's a backup
system.
Who can play 30. You got a guy who's your stud come playoff time.
Yeah.
But a backup who can play.
Yeah.
The NHL draft going on tonight in Vancouver. We have not caught up with our next guest, I think, since the last time we were at the draft, which was probably in Chicago, I think.
A couple years ago. Yeah.
So he's, I'm assuming, doing the rounds down there, the radio row, and he is nice enough to join us over the mic. In Vancouver, here is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, it has been too long, so it's good that we can get together again.
Well, we're excited about tonight. In terms of the draft, the NBA draft went down last night. You guys have the platform tonight. How important is it for the league to utilize this spotlight to promote these young players? Because a lot of them, the average fans, just simply don't know who they are.
Well, this is the beginning of making our fans and sports fans in general aware of who our next generation of stars are. And, you know, people look at the event and it's fun to be here and we'll have a packed house. But first and foremost, this is a business meeting where the teams are transacting important business. But creating this as an event gives the players exposure. And obviously, we think that's very important.
Well, in terms of that business, you know, the whole hockey world is on edge because we don't even know what the salary cap is going to be definitively next season. I can't recall a time in the past, I might be wrong, where we got to the draft and the salary cap had not been defined.
Well, we still have a few days until free agency begins, but I happen to agree with you. I would prefer that we take care of this business with the Players Association a little quicker than sometimes it happens. And we're waiting to hear back from the Players Association to sign off on the final number. And so, you know, that's the reality we live in, and they obviously have a process they have to go through, and I respect that process, but that's the reason we don't have the number yet.
Gary, I'm sure you've heard the word parity a lot bandied about when it comes to the National Hockey League, whether it's good or bad. In your eyes, is it good when it comes down to a team like the St. Louis Blues winning the Cup?
First of all, and no disrespect, and I'm not nitpicking, I think the term competitive balance is much more elegant than
fair
parity.
Enough. Fair
okay?
enough.
Okay,
yeah.
And I think it's great. I think it's extraordinary. You know, as you follow the game and as you have for years, the fact of the matter is our regular season is compelling. Virtually every game matters. We have lots of teams in the hunt till the very end of the regular season. Teams make or don't make the playoffs by a point or two. And then once the playoffs begin, anything can happen. That's what I think as a sport and as a league, we owe our fans, so that no matter who you root for, you feel like you're a part of what's going on. And I think it's great.
With the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, he's on the draft floor in Vancouver, the draft taking place tonight. From your standpoint, and obviously you've got a lot of stake in the game, how frustrating was it to continue to deal with the constant refereeing mistakes and distractions in conversations during the playoffs?
Well, you know, I know less than a handful of calls, but a number of calls were focused on, and they happened, or non-calls, happened at inopportune times. But we have to take a step back. A, I don't like it. It makes my head spin. When that happens. But you do have to recognize that we have the world's best officials in any sport, and they also happen to have the hardest job. The speed with which things are taking place on the ice, the amount of physicality of the game, that doesn't excuse it. It's a fact of life. And everybody associated with the product on the ice, whether it's coaches or players, makes mistakes. Our goal is to limit the number of mistakes. It is to hold the officials accountable when they make mistakes. And, you know, we're now, and we announced we're going to use technology a little bit more to help out in some difficult situations where a call could be missed. But we're not going to use it to call penalties, because you can't do that right now, because that would just consume and disrupt the flow of the game.
Full disclosure, I am not a fan of a video review. That's across the board, hockey, football, baseball, basketball. I'm fine with the human error element. I mean, it was around for a long time, and we all survived with it. But I understand, you know, this is what we have. And you guys, as you said yesterday, you announced that you're going to update the usage of video review. And I want to get some clarity here on one element here, because the GMs approved lifting the limits on the number of times a coach can challenge a play during the game for goalie interference, offside, and this is where it gets sticky for me, Gary, adding the element of possible missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage of play before a goal scored. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about black and white plays, not judgment calls. Hand pass, puck off a high stick, puck off the net, puck out of play coming back into the offensive zone. Those are not judgment calls. Those should be black and white calls. Listen, there are people of a certain age, I'll include you and me in that category, who love the game, and with any of the imperfections it can have in the human element. But the fact is, technology has increased. So if you played 20 or 30 years ago, errors would take place and they wouldn't be glaring, because hardly anybody would see them. But in this 24-hour media cycle, with as many as 20 cameras at a game, with every angle in slow-mo, there's more attention paid to what takes place on the ice in nuances. And fans, particularly younger fans who've grown up in a different environment, want us to get it right. And we have to try to get it right. The issue that people have objecting the video replay, they said, well, you know, offside, his foot was in the air by 2 inches. His foot was over the line by 3 inches. He took a half a second longer to get off the ice. That's not about video replay. Video replay enables us to get it right. That's the rule. And if people have a problem with that, we need to be addressing the rule, not the use of video replay, because when we use video replay, we get it right.
Well, a lot of my issues come down to the timeline, Gary.
Well, but the problem with that is, you know, when we're doing goaltender interference principally and offsides, we have a lot of our own cameras. You know, when you have a national broadcast with 18 to 20 cameras, sometimes you got to filter through all of the views that were there to make sure you got it right. And when TV goes out for a commercial, you got to wait for them to come back to see the angles and the pictures that they have. But in the final analysis, and we actually recently did some fan surveying on this, and overwhelmingly, I think somewhere between 70 and 80% of the fans say, if it takes a little longer, get it right. What we didn't in the last 24 hours that we've announced, which is good, we really only want video replay when the call was clearly, absolutely wrong. And so by enabling more challenges but a penalty if you are wrong, it will discourage it. So we're going to review more things, but I think we're going to actually have less reviews.
Well, but I'm even talking about the timeline within the play. Let me paint a picture for you.
I know what you're going to do. Go ahead.
Okay. There was a hand pass in the neutral zone a minute and a half before the puck went in net.
Stop. That won't apply. That won't apply.
Why not?
It only applies in the offensive zone leading to a goal.
Let's say it's a 45-second cycle. Has nothing to do with the goal. Why would, like, do you think fans really want that?
But the call should have been made, just like on offsides. If you don't, then you change the rule. It's not about video replay. It's what the rule is.
Okay, but again, I mean, is this going to be the finality of it, or like, are we two or three years away from you missed a cross check and that should have been called?
When I find it difficult to assume we're going to start calling penalties with video replay, because you know there's too much that takes place on the ice, too many warnings, too many conversations, there's a consistency. These are limited to the black and white calls, and we're also requiring the referees, when they call a major, to go look at it. We only had 39 majors last year, and this way, if we give them a second look, whether or not it should be 2 minutes or 5 minutes is something they can get right. And we're also going to give them the discretion to look at a 4 minute high stick to see if what we call friendly fire takes place. Player clearly was high stick, clearly got cut, but it was either his own stick or a teammate's stick. That'll be something we can look at as well. And there were only 4 of those last year. What happens is our officials overwhelmingly get it right, but in the final analysis, if they get it wrong at a crucial time, it gets a lot of attention, and we have a responsibility to do the best we can to help them get it right.
Why do you think we haven't seen more offer sheets since, you know, the salary cap was implemented?
I think that's easy. The system we negotiated makes it very harsh for you to get a really quality or star player in terms of what you have to give up. And the best way to build a team now is through the draft, with developing your own players, and to sign one player to an offer sheet and have to give up 3 or 4 first-round draft picks. I wouldn't do that if I was running a team. I don't think it has anything to do with anything else other than the price of admission.
Do you see Seattle having as much success as Vegas early on?
The rules of the expansion draft will be the same. And so it depends on who the general manager is and whether or not he can do it as well as George McPhee did, who did an extraordinary job. And off the ice, I see them having tremendous success. They already have deposits, significant deposits, for over 33,000 season tickets in a building that's going to seat between 17 and 18,000. And I think there's a waiting list of 26,000 more. The vast majority of the suites have been sold. They've got tons of corporate sponsors already. This franchise is going to do extraordinarily well. And as I sit here in Vancouver, the notion of having a geographic rivalry in the Pacific Northwest, I think, is going to be very exciting for both clubs.
We'll get you out of here on this, Gary. I got to ask you, as a commissioner, there's only 4 of the big 4 commissioners going here, and you've been you've been a part of that group for a number of years. There's a fascinating story that came out yesterday in baseball that Tampa is going to explore the idea of splitting time between Tampa and Montreal and maybe obviously having a basically two markets for the same team. Would you ever entertain that idea? How do you feel about that idea?
Well, I'm not going to pass judgment on whatever baseball does or is thinking of doing. I would have lots of questions, including how the players would deal with having two homes before I could answer the question. I would have questions before I could answer the question.
Okay. All right, we'll leave
Fair
it
enough,
there.
Fair enough, yeah.
We'll leave it there. Well, enjoy it in Vancouver. Do you think you're going to get cheered tonight, or what do you think the reaction will be?
Absolutely not.
No? You're not anticipating
that? But I think I have a little surprise that may turn it.
Oh,
wow.
All right. So
tune in and find out.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. There's a tease. I love
it. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Enjoy it. We appreciate you finding time for us.
Always good to be with you guys. Thank you.
There's Gary Bettman of the National Hockey League.
Jimmy Benning's told him that he's made a trade.
Something's going on.
Jimmy Benning traded the 10th pick.
Right.
That's what it is.
You think that? Well, because remember, we were down in Jersey.
Yeah, you got that. You're going to want to hear this.
Yeah, you're going to want to hear this, and that's when they traded Corey Schneider for the Bo Horvat
ninth
pick,
overall
basically.
Pick, yeah,
and that set the place on fire. But it was weird because I think Jersey fans were like, okay, this is great, we got Schneider, but now we're here and they're not going to pick.
Yeah.
So if Jimmy Benning flips that 10th pick tonight. Yeah. I think, you know, you got an educated fan base out there. If it's a good deal, they'll be happy.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people have probably, you know, bought tickets or got tickets, and they've been doing the mock draft thing.
Yeah.
And they want Cole Caulfield to drop to 10 or whatever it is. That won't become a possibility.
So I've got to do a little recap here. You've got Hazy Beast. You've got Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
It's a good one, Brian. Then you've got Rich Eisen saying, yeah, I caught you on DP. And then you've got the commissioner, Gary Bettman. I agree with you.
Oh, there were
I don't know what he used as verbiage. We may have to go back in it, but he was on your side when you said, what's going on here with the salary cap?
Yeah. I mean, that was an easy one because it's the Players Association
that
he's going at.
Yeah, he threw it on the Players Association, but still, he's like, that's a good one.
That's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point,
there was
Brian.
Basically, it was Dwayne Casey, the commissioner of the NHL.
Yeah. That's a good point, Brian.
And I've always believed this. Now, the commissioner is not judge, jury, and executioner. That's why you have GMs. That's why you have committees. That's why you have the players. He did say if you're of a certain age, well, he's older than me, video review is not necessarily your thing.
I don't think he was loving it.
I don't think he's a fan of video review. But he said, you know, the millennials, they love a video.
I will say this. I thought he explained it quite well.
Listen,
like, you know, whether you agree with it or not,
and
he
explained it properly.
But you had questions, and he goes, "Oh, hold on here. It's that."
Yep.
Like he laid it out clearly so that I understood it.
Yep.
So that we understood what's going to be called.
Only in the offensive zone,
right here, and it's on plays of hand pass and over the glass,
I don't know why that wasn't established.
That's what I'm just saying. Why wouldn't that be in the press release?
I don't know. I mean,
because
maybe it was in the
way
fine print.
The way he explained it clearly makes sense. That comes back to common sense to get the egregious calls out.
Hand pass, hit the netting, high stick, black and white.
I happen to agree with you.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Gary Bettman.
Was that full Larry King when we were going at it video review? I mean, we were going at it.
No, but he
You know,
he
I wanted
laid
to get some answers.
And I thought it was quite clear. And he did a good job at it because he knew he was going to be on the firing line. So, you know, you gave him a little Larry King, but he shot right back.
Oh, yeah.
Which was good.
It's not his first rodeo.
No, he's
been
I know people
before.
Get on him, but, you know, I was a part of the league for a long time. He has grown the league. Like, that's, you can't
They're going to have 31 teams in
people
a couple
don't,
years.
You know, people don't like him. People don't like some of the things, but... As a former player and a guy who dealt with him as a player rep and stuff, he knew what he was doing, and he still does. Unfortunately, that you know people get frustrated. There are things that
every commissioner takes heat.
Yeah, and he's not going to be right on everything. You know, the concussions and stuff. There's a lot going on.
As long as
on.
He agrees with me, that's all that matters.
Well, I happen to agree with you.
That's the only thing
did.
That matters.
And he did.
So we're tracking all the rumors coming out of. And actually, you know what? He said something interesting about. offer sheets too.
Yeah, the price.
Well, and it, basically, if I'm running a team, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Okay, we'll continue to kind of recap that conversation. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Just had Gary Bettman on for the first time in 2 years. We have not had him on in a long time. The last time we had him on, it was like a minutes restriction, too. He could only come on for like 3 or 4 minutes, remember?
Yeah, because this PR guy kept pulling at Steph or whatever. It was all right,
that's enough,
off,
let's go. That didn't happen today.
Didn't we ask him about something? Isn't that where we got the soundbite where he's like, are you drunk? Didn't he say something about that? Where he's like, you've been drinking?
I feel like it might have been, do you think you're going to get cheered or something like that?
He'd say, have you been drinking? Yeah, he said something like that. He was quite very laid back and had some fun with us.
Well, we asked him, you know, do you think you're getting booed tonight? He said, absolutely. You know, or I think we said, do you think you'll get cheered? And he said, absolutely not. But he's got some sort of tease. He thinks he's going to turn the boos into cheers. I don't know what he's got. Your initial reaction was the Vancouver Canucks are going to make a deal.
I thought it's Jimmy Benning has made a deal, but then people have been writing in, and I think they're right. He's going to give a little love to the Raptors. And I think, you know, Canada's,
you think that flies out
Canada's
there?
Team. I think so.
Yeah, I hope so. I think Vancouver might kind of be back to hating everything Toronto, though.
Yeah, but the Raptors were, like, it wasn't hockey-related. Like, it's the Raptors were the only NBA team. It was kind of Canada's team adopted. Like, I think you'd get a pretty good cheer.
It would be a pretty savvy move.
That's,
you get up there, welcome to the 2019 NHL draft. Thank you, Vancouver.
Yeah.
And thank you, Canada, the home of the NBA champion Toronto Raptors.
Yes, congratulations to the, you know, something like that. That may turn the boos into cheers.
I think there's a pretty good opportunity that it would, to an extent. Not everybody. I think a lot of people are going to be like, all right, Gary, you know, I bought tickets to come boo you. I don't care what you say. I'm booing here.
I don't know.
But I found his answer about offer sheets very, very intriguing. Because offer sheets are... that's the term of the week, term of the day, whatever you want to call it. You know, everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen with Mitch Marner. And, you know, the reports are out there, courtesy of our guys and other guys, that, you know, if a deal doesn't get tabled and get signed before the end of the week, Mitch Marner's going to have to get on one of those
planes and
Kawhi Leonard planes, you know, and he's going to have to get on a plane and maybe he's got to fly around and check out a couple of spots. And it's not even about Mitch Marner, but RFAs in general.
Yeah.
Like this year, there are many, many brilliant hockey players.
Could be a dozen.
Brilliant hockey players. Right. Like we're talking guys that are in the top 50 in the league that are RFAs. So if there's not going to be an offer sheet this summer, I hope that that term is put to bed completely. Yeah. But there's always been a belief that the league, you know, maybe they don't want to see offer sheets. Maybe the owners, there's been collusion among the owners. Hey, don't do it to me. I won't do it to you.
Right.
Maybe the GMs, you know, I don't want to burn you because some other guy's going to burn me down the road if we start down this path.
Potentially, yeah.
So we asked Gary Bettman, why don't you think offer sheets have happened?
I think that's easy. The system we negotiated makes it very harsh for you to get a really quality or star player in terms of what you have to give up. And the best way to build a team now is through the draft, with developing your own players, and to sign one player to an offer sheet and have to give up 3 or 4 first-round draft picks. I wouldn't do that if I was running a team. I don't think it has anything to do with anything else other than the price of admission.
I wouldn't do that if I was running a team. Do you think those words hold weight? Do you think that's a message to everybody? Hey.
But I don't think he's wrong. Like, you, like, 4 first rounders can really change the fortunes of your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hit on one of them, they may not, that one of them could be as special as the player that you offer sheeted.
Right.
Like, that's the one thing I would look at too. Like, it's a steep price to, especially the stratosphere we're talking about with offer sheets that are 10 million plus.
No one has been able to connect a name to this offer sheet madness. A team. No one.
Yeah.
Like, no, everyone, you know, I know up here there's always people bring up the Islanders because of Lou.
Right.
Lou is a league guy. Lou Lamoriello is as league friendly and as connected with Gary Bettman and everyone else at that front office, more so than anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
You think Lou Lamoriello is going to be the guy to say, you know, actually, I'm going to do something that, that the owners don't want, or I'm going to do something that maybe the commissioner isn't very happy about?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. Detroit's got space. Do you think Steve Yzerman, the first thing he wants to do is hand over four first-round picks before he's even done anything? I don't.
I don't
who's
either.
Giving these out?
I don't know.
Who?
I would be fascinated to see. I believe there's going to be one, but I don't believe it's going to be a Maple Leaf, and I don't believe it's going to be a 10-plus million. Like, I think those mid-level offer sheets where there's second-rounders involved and, you know, that type of stuff, I think that can – I think we're going to see an offer sheet. I just don't think it's going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. And if it is, it's not going to be Mitch Marner. It'll be Kapanen.
Right.
Because you can You can jam up. You can jam up the Leafs, because if the Leafs are thinking they want to bridge Kapanen and kick that contract down the road so they can fit everyone in and make sure they've at least got a couple years of cost certainty, that's how you can jam them up. If you said, hey, you know, whatever number it would come in at, I would have to check the chart, but it's 5 years at $5 million gets you what, one first rounder and two second rounders and all of that.
Yeah.
If Kyle walked away from that and accepted the draft picks, he has some cap relief, not much because Kapanen's not making a ton, and he gets picks. Like, that's something I think a team would be willing to do because it wouldn't be that expensive, technically, on paper.
Yeah.
And you would get a top six forward in Kapanen. On most teams, he is a top six forward. And the price, there's no guarantee that those picks that you'd be taking would be as good as Kapanen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the Marner situation, four first-rounders. I don't disagree with Gary. That's a real steep price to pay. For a star player, yes, but there's no guarantee that one of those first-rounders wouldn't hit even close in the stratosphere.
Well, if it's a bad team, like if, let's say Detroit, and I don't know if they're actually even thinking about it or they're linked to it. Detroit's a terrible team.
Let's say if they're near the bottom and that's a top seven pick.
Right. For two or three years.
Yeah, so one of those players could be a real good special player.
Absolutely.
So he's not wrong in that thought process.
But, no,
but
he's
you're
not.
Right. There is an element of the old boys club, like it's an unwritten rule that you just don't do that. I could be wrong, but I've just got a weird feeling about this whole draft and this free agency because, like you said, there's 10 to 12 real potential special players there, like Point and Rantanen, Besser, McAvoy, Tkachuk, Marner. Like if there's ever going to be an offer sheet, wouldn't this be the year?
Absolutely, based on the talent.
Based on the talent.
Because
alone.
If you're going to go all in, you might as well get a great player.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, we'll see what happens here. There's a lot of buzz going on online.
About what?
That the potential announcement that Bettman could be making.
What is it?
Now, this is not official. This is simply a rumor. And we don't generally get into the rumor stuff, but today is rumor day of the year. It's okay. That Tyson Barrie is going to end up in Vancouver.
Which would be a massive splash. I think Tyson Barrie is a riverboat gambler, but he is the defense. He's a defenseman for today's game. Not super defensive, offensive, good on the power play, and you can work with him and have a solid partner to play with.
Why would Colorado make that move? Like, they're a playoff team now. They're up and coming. They've got the fourth overall pick. Like, what are you trading him for?
Maybe it's Rantanen's money. Maybe it's, you know, like...
Yeah. Like an internal cap. Like, right. We're not going all the way to the roof.
The cost certainty thing. He's on term. Well, they've got the kids there. That Sam Girardi.
Yep.
He's going to be a hell of a player.
And they called up, what's his name, the other defenseman they called up in the playoffs.
The right-handed shot in the playoffs.
Cale Makar.
And he's a stud.
He looks
right
like
away.
He could be a stud.
So
I hear you, but
that
still.
That makes you expendable, and you may be able to get, what would you get out of Vancouver for, getting a good player.
But that's the thing.
Player.
Do you want a player? Or do you want more picks? I mean, I would take
a 10th pick.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I would trade the 10th pick every day of the week for Tyson Barrie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tyson I mean, the Barrie value that comes with a cost certainty right shot defenseman, I would think it might cost you more than that.
Who can play in a top pairing? Like it's probably going to cost you more. But
who knows?
Every
Jimmy
day of the
Benning.
Week,
Jimmy Benning.
If he pulls that out of a rabbit
that's
out of a hat.
To circulate.
Man, their defensive core would look a lot different and
that
a lot better.
He's starting to circulate.
Man, oh man.
There's pictures now. It's picture day because whenever two GMs start talking, and Kyle Dubas and David Poyle, the GM of the Nashville Predators,
wow,
spotted having a conversation, courtesy of Mike Zeisberger and our boy Joe from the Bridge.
Oh yeah, Joe from the Bridge. Is he down there?
He's in the mix. All right, Overdrive continues. We're out of here on TSN 2. Copa America coming up. Shout out.
Yes. Shout out.
Overdrive continues on TSN Radio. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the under in the Jays game tonight. They're at Fenway with Chris Sale and Trent Thornton on the mound. Philly home plus, and I'm on the Dodgers as well. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So our show continues on Monday, but down the road, I think everyone in the sports media world is well aware of this. A lot of listeners that I'm sure we've been lucky enough to attract over the years are probably well aware of this as well. Bob McCowan is, I don't think he's retiring. He's made that pretty clear, but I guess he's shutting it down over there.
Yeah.
And we've been battling with him for a number of years, and he's been around for forever. And I remember listening to him when I was a kid. And it'll be strange not being in this bubble that we live in sports media and sports radio in particular without his presence, but we'll see what he does next.
Yeah,
but
shout out to him. A lot of respect. You know, he's been a guy that has been a mainstay and a staple and a guy that people look up to and have listened to for a long time. So you gotta give him love. He's been there for years.
Yeah. You have a run in this industry for that long. You know, people are going to salute it, and it deserves to be saluted. So
exactly.
Yeah. You know, we've never mentioned his name on this show.
We'll never mention
it again.
Exactly. But we don't
more than likely, but
it has to be at least acknowledged.
Absolutely.
That, the great work he's done.
Yep. He's obviously a giant of the industry. So shout out, best of luck wherever Bob McCowan takes it from there.
Exactly.
And you know, we'll take it from here.
Yeah.
We'll happily take it from here.
That would be nice, yeah.
And we're just getting going. So we're looking forward to seeing what the future is going to entail for this program.
Exactly.
All right. We assume the O-Dog will be a part of the show on Monday. I mean, you never know.
Well, we're hoping.
Some people are probably wondering, did he retire today? Is that why he's not on the show? I don't know. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
I think he'll be back on Monday. Nobody really knows.
Well,
we'll
figure
find
out
at that point.
At 4 p.m.
We're out of here. We're back at 4 p.m. on Monday.
And we're going to chat then.